Welcome to episode 12 of the TV Autopsy, sliding its way to the series you love. My name is James.
My name is Deborah.
And I'm Megan.
And can I say, ladies, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear TV Autopsy. We are one
happy today. Happy birthday to us.
Yay.
Well, we are
very exciting.
Yes, we are 1 year old. Can you believe it?
So that's not bad then. We've done 12 episodes in 1 year. So when there have been dry moments, you know, months have gone by where we feel we haven't recorded, actually, we've still got 12 episodes.
Well, I had to burst your bubble because...
We haven't got 12, have we?
Well, this is number 12.
Oh!
Well, however, we should be on number 13 by all official counts because we are in... You know how you work birthdays out. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Because
I'm
okay
with 12.
Yeah.
Well done, us.
And I would, not going to get sentimental, it's only a year, but I have very enjoyed being introduced to many series that I would not have had any intention of watching.
Yeah.
I would agree.
Yes.
And this one, the one we're going to talk about, Peter's of Her, being another one, which I can't wait to talk about.
Oh, my goodness.
But before we do that, has anybody got any news to talk about?
Oh, my goodness.
But before we do that, has anybody got any news or anything they want to share? So anything, so our news section is news about things we like, but also things that might be up and coming, things that may be ending, you know, all in the world of TV.
Take it away, Megan.
Well, So I am going to reposition just so that our lovely listeners know I have had COVID this month. So I'm a little bit off my game on the news front. And I did suddenly think about 2 minutes before I joined the call, I should have done some homework on the news.
Well, we know that the Walking Dead has come to an end because our friend, James.
Mm. Oh, yes. We went to university with.
Yeah, Pollyanna McIntosh, she has incessantly been posting pictures on Facebook with "it's a wrap" and all, "this is my family, oh my goodness, oh my goodness." So that's come to an end. Hasn't Peaky Blinders also come to an end? There was a finale last week.
It's the last season. Are they not doing a film?
You know what? I read something today saying where Peaky Blinders is going to be heading for next.
Mm.
So I've got a feeling we haven't seen the last of that.
I heard earlier on the radio today that whilst Cillian Murphy was being considered for the next James Bond, in light of the last episode that was aired, that's now off the table. So who knows what he's currently got up to.
Can I just ask you what you think in contrary to probably popular belief, I think Jodie Whittaker has made a brilliant doctor. I think her scripts and stories have let her down a bit a lot, but I really enjoyed her as a doctor. And I think it works that they changed the doctor to a lady. What are your views about James Bond? I know there's rumours about maybe the next Bond will be a woman. What do you think about those?
We've got plenty of movies, maybe not proper franchises, but we've got plenty of movies where there's a girl strong, maybe not a detective, a spy so much, but we have had a few movies like that, not a franchise. I don't think they should muck about with James Bond, in my opinion.
Okay, fair enough.
So I'm all for more strong female leads in movies, in TV. Mm. I think we are still massively underrepresented across the whole industry. As far as James Bond is concerned, I mean, I would rather stick a fork in my eye than see a James Bond film. So I can't really express an opinion on that.
That's absolutely fair enough. Yeah. I think you're both right. I'd like to see more original characters, more original stories featuring women as leads. You know, let's make new franchises.
Yeah.
I think we worry too much about the franchises we've got, which leads me on to, has anybody seen it's not a trailer. They released some images for the new Game of Thrones spin-off.
No.
No.
I did when they released some pictures about... when they were filming on location, but
yeah,
I haven't
like a few months ago.
I'll find the link and I'll put it on our page and stuff. But it's
and
basically,
do we know when that's being released?
Yeah, I think they're talking about this, certainly the summer of this year. It's basically yeah. they've got a picture, a proper photo of each character, really, so you can Ooh. Really. We've got Matt Smith in there as a Targaryen, lots of Targaryens, obviously. Are we excited about this?
I'm very excited about this. Yeah. And I would like to suggest that whoever's got the month nominating as TV series when it comes out, that we should have a slot to discuss it or something. We need to discuss it.
I think there's nothing wrong. I think what we'll do during this run is discuss the episodes that have been on. So we'll have a little section celebrating that every month because I think it's something that everybody would be interested in.
They won't drop the whole lot in one go, will they? They'll drop it weekly.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah. And I think as much as I like to gorge TV, it is a good way to watch it because you have to digest things.
Takes time to process. There's a lot that goes on.
Absolutely.
It's really disposable, quick, fast TV. Even things that end on cliffhangers and. Even the bingeable stuff that's deliberately built with cliffhangers so that you just watch one more episode, you know, in the same way that it's so you tune in next week and you just keep watching and actually you haven't built the suspense or the mental reflection on what's happened. And so I agree. When you're forced to do it week by week and you're watching
it
week, because some of them
exciting.
I save up and then I just binge them. But the ones where you know you're going to be talking about it in the water cooler TV series, having a social viewing experience is actually really
I agree.
Really fun.
It's very exciting running home from. I mean, I remember running home from work on a Monday to watch the final season of Game of Thrones, and Mondays were just so exciting because.
Had stayed up beyond midnight to watch it when it dropped, and
because it was on a Sunday night in America, so I'd record the America, so we could watch it Monday.
Yeah. And just to be clear, you used to work in central London and live in West Wickham, so that's like a 10-mile run for you, Deborah.
Yes, no, further than that.
That's pretty impressive.
but it was just so exciting, and then everyone sits, and then you watch the Sue Perkins show afterwards.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh no, I can't. I don't do any of that.
I like a bit of that.
All right, that's us basically. All right. Yeah. any more news? All right, so let's move on to Cutting Edge. Something that you've been watching that you'd like to recommend. I'll kick us off quickly. I've watched the new DC series Peacemaker on Sky or now TV or whatever format you want to watch it on, which is basically it's one of the characters. From the Suicide Squad. And he plays it's a very righteous character who believes in justice, but he'll do it by any means necessary, i.e. killing people, which is why he became kind of a villain. He obviously plays a questionable good guy who's really into hard rock, and it's a nice characterization. I think the series was very up and down for me. I think it followed lots of tropes from the Suicide Squad, really. And some of the jokes ran a bit thin. However, it's summed it all up in the title sequence. The title sequence was a real rock song with a very choreographed dance routine. It's well worth a watch, including his pet eagle, Eagly, who flies it at the end. And it's so contrived, you can't work out if it's funny, if it's really funny or it's not. But I recommend just checking out that.
Well, we ought to watch that and then we can tell you whether it's funny or not.
Yeah, thank you. I need to be told whether things are funny or not. Anyway, so that was mine. It was only 8 episodes, so it didn't take long. So that was me. Deborah.
We spoke about this last time. I watched Yellow Jackets because Megan recommended it and a couple of other people had recommended it. It is excellent. excellent. It is so good.
Yes, thank you. Gosh, I was very worried you weren't going to like
it. It's so good. It's funny. It's such a great laugh. I mean, you know, there's some obviously serious bits to it, but it's not really. It's a romp. It's really, really good. Melanie Lynskey, Christina Ricci, and Juliette Lewis, amongst others. Fantastic. Really excellent. Megan loved it. It's one of my favourite series so far.
Right, I'm definitely going to get watch that.
You are going to have to watch that.
I haven't got anything on my list now.
Your season 2 is going to come in. And I mean,
it's so good. And James, you are going to love it. It's just your humour. Christina Ricci is an absolute tribe. I love her anyway.
She's brilliant.
But she is
hilarious.
Yeah, okay. She's very good.
Lovely.
And the girl that plays her younger self, Misty, equally hilarious. Very good.
Okay. They did a really good job at matching the younger and the older, and some of them they're basically the same person, and then others people have changed they've done it really, really well.
Really well, right. And just another one at Cutting Edge. I mentioned it last month, but my brilliant friend just watched the latest season of that. You have to watch it. Megan, it's probably more your thing than James's thing. It's emotive, it's beautiful, it's terrifying, it's deep, it's rich.
Hold on a minute. All those words are really nice. I'm sure I'll like it too.
Yeah. I'm sure you would, if you were happy to just watch the subtitles and things. I know sometimes...
Okay, fine.
Please watch it. I know you say you started reading the book. Please watch it from start to now.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Megan, how about you?
Well, so I have done a big TV watching month because of said COVID and things like that. So I've seen a lot. I've got one I'm going to put on my
card. Because you've been ill, I have a couple.
Okay, so I watched some really, really random stuff, and one of them, and I got completely sucked in, was Escaping Polygamy on Amazon Prime.
Really?
And it's about these, you know, these sort of like reality TV shows where they've got the bounty hunters and it was that kind of style, but it's a group of women who have escaped the Mormon Church of... It's not officially the Mormons, but it's these Salt Lake City cults, polygamous. It is Church of the Latter-day Saints, but there's two arms of this, and it goes into a lot of the history, talks a lot about the leaders who are currently in prison for paedophilia, for marrying 12-year-old brides and all this sort of stuff. But they're women who've escaped, and then they're filming them helping other women escape, and some men as well, to be fair. And I just got completely sucked in, and it's really very interesting, actually, I have to say. One of my absolute cutting edges, which I think you both would appreciate, is The Witchfinder. Have you watched that?
Well, I tried to watch it.
Oh, no. And did you not get into it? Someone else said that to me. And I
about 45 minutes in, I just went, can't be bothered.
So, James, have you watched it?
No.
Have you seen it advertised? Right. But you've
Netflix.
Watched it. It's BBC.
Oh. Okay.
No, I haven't seen it.
Are you thinking The Witchfinder?
Oh.
Or are you thinking The Witcher?
Oh.
Are you thinking... Hold on.
I'm thinking The Witchfinder, maybe?
Is it the comedy with the woman
from... With Daisy May Cooper?
Yes, right. Yes.
Oh, okay. I've got that completely wrong. So I'm thinking of the other one.
You're thinking of The Witcher.
No, I really liked Daisy May Cooper. I loved... what was the series?
This country,
which I just adored.
And, so have you watched The Witchfinder?
What's the name of the series that you're talking about?
The Witchfinder,
not The Witcher.
No, The Witchfinder.
No,
and
I've not seen
it's a BBC comedy. And if you've seen Inside Number 9, the witch episode, it's got a bit of a feel of that.
Okay.
It's so funny. Daisy May Cooper is brilliant in it. Okay. And it's, so it's set, there's a witch find, a really rubbish witch finder going around the country trying to prove himself to the witch finder general. And so he goes, he's in this village and he manages to arrest a supposed witch. And he's, instead of trying her and punishing her in the village, he's taking her to Chelmsford to prove his worth to the Witchfinder General. And it's hilarious. And okay. I absolutely think both of you will love it.
I did what I started. I watched the first 5 minutes and then I have to go do something, but I did like that. So I'll definitely be watching.
Yeah,
that.
I think you would. I think you would. Both of you would thoroughly okay. be up for it.
That's the next thing on the list.
Yeah, and I also I've saved up and then binged The Gilded Age.
All right, is that any good?
Yeah,
is it another steampunky type Downton
Abbey? No, it's not. It's Downton-y because it's Julian Fellowes who wrote it. It's set in New York in the Gilded Age, which, so it's set about 50 years before, is it about
Downton?
I think it's about 50 years, 40, 50 years before Downton. And it's wonderful.
Is
absolutely
it?
Wonderful. Yeah. I think I may even prefer it to Downton.
Well, because Downton became such a bore.
Yeah. Well, I managed to munch through all of Downton
after
Christmas.
It.
Yeah, well, I didn't see you. I was looking out for you. I didn't see you. But the Gilded Age, I mean, the costumes are phenomenal. The sets and the buildings are just obscene. And the central premise is there's sort of like old New York and old money. And then there's all these new money Americans sort of like coming up and really making lots and lots of money. And there's a central one, the Russells, who he's made his money in the railroads and all sorts of stuff. And she is, his wife is desperate to make it into New York society, but she's new money. And so all of the old guards who sort of like protect society aren't having any of it. And you're watching the whole series and just, and, you know, they're not overly, none of them are overly nice characters to begin with, but I was so invested in them all by the end.
Okay.
I was really, really.
So how many episodes is that, roughly?
Oh, God, I can't remember. A good few. It'd like be that. At least eight, if not more.
Okay.
All right. Thank you very much. So, Flatline. Anything that we've seen that we're not that keen on? I can't say I've seen anything I didn't like this month.
Well, I've turned on the first episode of the last season of Killing Eve. Oh, God.
So what happened?
Obviously,
you loved that show.
I did. I loved the first series. It was fantastic. And then it's just kind of gone downhill from there ever since Phoebe Waller-Bridge has not been involved and so on. And I think that's, you know, she's stupendous writing, but it just seems to have gone downhill. And I love Jodie Comer and Sandra Oh is great, but I just watched this first episode and it's just like, oh, right, I'm going to have to get through this. But at the moment, it's flatlining for me.
Fair enough.
I only ever watched the first two seasons, so I kind of, is it the fourth season that's just come out?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm behind on season three as well, and I'm kind of like, oh, there's so much telly. There's so much telly to watch.
Yeah.
All right, well, talking about so much telly to watch, let's get on to our main feature, which Ooh. Is the series Pieces of Her. So, before we go any further, let's have a little clip.
You ever have that thing where you think you know someone as well as you could possibly know anyone? And then, one day, you were totally wrong?
Something what your mom did.
You don't have much time. You have to leave. Can't talk to anyone, okay? No calls, no texting, nothing. There are just some things you don't understand.
Deborah, could you give
yes.
us yeah, a few facts about this show, please.
Okay, so this is a thriller drama in 8 episodes. Netflix, March was its release. Apparently, most of it was filmed in Australia. It's based on a book by Karen Slaughter. The series was created by Charlotte Stout, who did Homeland, Fosse, Verdon, House of Cards. Directed by Minky Spiro, who did Better Call Saul, Downton Abbey, Call the Midwife, Stella, Waterloo Road, Doc Martin. It stars Toni Collette as Laura, or also known as Jane, who is obviously in Sixth Sense, Muriel's Wedding, Hereditary, Little Miss Sunshine, Velvet Goldmine. Bella Heathcote as Andy, her daughter, who is Aussie as well, and was in Neighbours. And Jessica Barden.
I knew her from somewhere.
Jessica Barden, who plays the young Jane. She's in The End of the Effing World on Channel 4, and Hannah. Terry O'Quinn, you might recognise him. He plays the dad. The Martin Queller, big CEO guy. He was John Locke.
Oh, he certainly was.
Someone else that you'd recognise would be David Weehan, who plays Jasper, the brother. He's also Aussie. You'd recognise him as Faramir from Lord of the Rings.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Thank you very much. So, Megan, give it in a nutshell, can you sum up what this is about?
So, in a nutshell, it is about a mother and daughter who, as a result of a shooting that they're both present at, that then gets news splattered across the news, it triggers a whole chain reaction where the mother is... the mother then triggers Andy, to the daughter, to escape, and she's obviously very, very fearful for everything, and the daughter goes off in one direction trying to work out what the hell's going on, because the mother's being really shifty but not telling her anything, and the mother is then trying to contain the situation, and gradually or not gradually, depending on what you think about it, you're unpeeling layers and layers of years and years and years of historic thrillerness,
yeah.
and current day thrillerness. So it's kind of a two timeline thing as well. It gradually reveals what happened many, many years ago, at the same time as it's all coming back up to the fore.
Absolutely. Just to be clear, we are gonna probably there will be spoilers as ever, because it's hard to talk about a series like this,
yeah,
not to give away some of the spoilers. So if you haven't seen it, I suggest maybe you go and have a look at it now and then come back in 8 hours and listen to the rest of this. So just for me, first thoughts. So I put on the first episode and didn't know anything about it, and I was thinking, oh my God, this is boring. It's going nowhere. Now, I'm talking about the very first 5 minutes, 5-10 minutes here. You know, she was riding a bike, she was on the toilet, you know, and it was like, oh, God, what is this dross that I'm going to have to watch? And then suddenly that shooting happened, and it was like, oh, well, it suddenly got more interesting, suddenly got up a bit. And it kind of just improved there for me. And I just got really wrapped into it. And it was, I love the way that they, some of it, as ever with these things, kind of, it doesn't turn out quite as exciting as it was, but it's the idea of what's going on.
Can I say, episode one, I messaged both of you guys, because I cannot tell you that I've been having like some serious anxiety bouts, and like where I've been having really, really rapid heart palpitations, right, which is probably not something to joke about. But like, I genuinely watched the first episode and thought, this is going to kill me if it keeps this up, because I actually thought episode one was really
gripping,
punchy, gripping. Was like, holy shit, what's
and then here? What happened? As far as I'm concerned, brilliant first episode. Then it went all to crap. It lost steam as it went along. It was awful.
All right, so why didn't it work for you then, Deborah?
Right, okay. Look, I'm a fan of Toni Collette, but you know, she deserved better in my opinion. So, okay, it loses steam very soon after the first episode. Like by episode three, it's lost my believability. Anyway, Andy's character, the daughter, lacks character development. She just seems to be a mechanism to move the narrative forward.
Just to talk about that, because I agree with you. I wasn't a fan of her performance at all.
She was bland.
Yeah.
Totally bland.
I didn't rate her performance.
And I did, in fairness, I did think she improved as it went along, but I think for a good half of it, I wasn't impressed with her performance. So that was a problem for me.
I think it just failed to deliver a suspenseful thriller. It was dull, confused, messy, tiresome, badly scripted. It felt unrealistic. They had like an infuriating puzzle structure. The twists and the reveals, I just felt that we were cheated by the writers who were just withholding information or detail just to, you know, you just had no idea what was going on some of the time. And you just stopped caring after a while. The thrill of keeping you in the dark, you know, when we don't know what we don't know, compared to why really should we care? You just get this information dumps per episode. It drags.
All right, stop there. Stop there.
The performance is down.
I want to talk about what you've just said.
And the young Jane, my God, sullen and completely uncharming.
Well, hold on a minute, because we've covered everything. And what I want to do,
Deborah, have you forgotten how this works?
Let's just talk about, because I think it's a good point, the mystery and the narrative and why, Deborah said she found it didn't work. Because sometimes you have to, when you've got something that is mysterious, you have to link it together.
He's got four pencils in his hands. Sorry.
You've got to link it together by strangeness. I really got...
Why did you love it? You clearly
enjoyed
it. I bought
into the mystery. However,
yeah.
I did keep thinking I missed out quite important plot points. Because sometimes it jumped. And I wasn't sure suddenly what was going on. I'm not talking about the time jump, but sometimes...
But the relevance.
Suddenly the appearance of, you know, the villain of the piece, this eco-warrior or whatever he was.
Nick.
Nick.
The terrorist.
Who, again, I thought was badly cast. I think there was a couple of... He didn't really strike me as somebody who could... You'd fall under his spell and become, like, carried away to him.
No.
He just seemed a bit of a dick.
So... Yeah. I agree. I didn't feel particularly engaged with any of the characters. I wasn't rooting for anybody. I thought it was confused. I messaged you both actually at one point and I still don't know where that. What did she do? I don't know what. So there was a name that came up somewhere, and Andy was suddenly obsessed. Like, and her research was so targeted. Like,
yes,
it was. There was a name, and then she researched this.
Yeah.
Paula Coons.
What did she do?
I can't remember.
Mm. I don't. What she played? No, I couldn't work any of it
she
out.
She wasn't the lady that shot. John
Are you
Locke?
Sure? I thought it was.
No, that was Anna Matlock or something.
Yeah.
Paula Coombs must have been the woman who was in the gang who ended up in prison. You know, she went to visit her. I don't know.
Yes, it was.
That was a lot. Yes, so there was quite a bit of
It was so confused. There were so many bits that were confused. And I think that I just didn't buy into any of Andy's journey. Like, she went from zero start to suddenly knowing how to shake off a tail that somebody was following her, and she knows how to avoid that and to spot people following her and, you know, getting a gun and all of this sort of stuff. And I'm kind of like, I'm not buying any of this being a natural response to what you've gone through.
Not even the Latino FBI cop, which we've never seen in any show before.
Oh, yeah. So Michael Vargas, I mean... When we get to that bit, the stupid factor, when we go through, you know, performance of the series set piece and stuff, the stupid factor where this police cop, supposedly in plain clothes, sits at a bar, gets her all paranoid, then goes after her, then she realises he's not after her after all. It just felt like there were so many non-events. Like when she's given the information from her mum, quickly, you go to this lockup and you go and get key ZY3, then you get a car and then there'll be money and there'll be a phone and all this sort of stuff. And then the next day she comes home again.
Is it the next, does she? No, she
almost frantically the next day after she's met with the policeman.
Car at that time.
Right. Yeah. But it's just ridiculous. It's like it was like a non-event. You set this lockup for so long, so excited for your daughter to use it, for her to come home 2 days later.
I mean, that car wouldn't have started 30 years later.
I know, it would have been completely earthed.
She goes to check on it every year. Now, I tell you, one of the things I did like about it, do you both know who I'm talking about when I say Patty Hearst? So Patty Hearst was the daughter of a very, very big TV mogul family in the 1970s. And she was kidnapped by the Liberation Freedom Army, a group of black liberation freedom fighters. And very bizarrely, they were sending audio messages of Patty to the parents and it was all being televised.
Oh.
And it started off with her going, "Mom, I'm really sad, I'm really nervous." And then as the weeks went by, she started saying, "It's all your fault." And they were basically, it's the idea of her being brainwashed. And then she was finally caught breaking into a bank with this liberation army.
Right, doing the heist.
Yeah. There's a really good film, The Taking of Patty Hearst, which is all the documentary. It's well worth watching. But for me, when I started to see how that unraveled, I really linked to that. And so I thought that was lovely. And I personally, I love the performances of both the older and the younger, the mum and when she was younger. And I love the piano story, being a pianist. And it was so lovely when she got to play at the end.
I mean, that's, you know, random and fair enough. But I just found the actress who, in other things that she's in, is very good. But I just found her character so sullen, just directed really badly. You know, Rotten Tomatoes gave this 5.3 out of 10. They called it a lumbering mystery.
Oh, dear.
I think there were too many of those suspension of disbelief. I'm quite happy to suspend disbelief on a lot of these things, but it'd be interesting as to how much, you know, how much of it was genuinely from the original Karen Slaughter book and how much of it was like clunkily converted to TV.
Yeah,
you'd think in eight episodes they could probably do it fairly good justice.
Mm.
But for example, the point where the marshal has caught up with Andy again, and he's left the money in his hotel room.
Yes,
and they're chatting, and a runner just comes and stabs him with a needle and poisons him.
Yeah,
I'm like, what? Seriously, how could you
not
set
realize.
That up and know that that you wouldn't have known they were going to be there meeting each other, to have a runner staged ready with drugs to poison
it was
the
marshal
as they run past, and to know exactly where he's staying, and she happens to be there when they arrive and leaves the money on the bed and then gets in the back of the car.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, no!
It's infuriating. It's infuriating.
And to be honest, that's
dumb.
That's, it fell down there quite a bit in the whole premise, really, because if she came from a family that was really that wealthy and really that rich, there'd be absolutely no reason for her to go into hiding.
No.
That, you know, you wouldn't get anywhere near her.
And, I mean, Jasper, I mean, I know Jasper could have been a target himself, but obviously working with the terrorist group so that they could change. But he wasn't changing anything. That was a thing.
Mm.
So why wasn't he being threatened?
And also, sorry, I'm thinking of another thing that annoyed me now.
Sorry.
The bit at the end, you know, when she gets her old life back. Bearing in mind, she's been living this life for about 25, 30 years.
30 years, yeah.
And she goes upstairs and gets all her clothes, puts them all in a bin bag and throws them all away. And I'm thinking, have you pretended to wear pastels and stuff for 30 years?
Yeah.
Just so
she's still a speech therapist. She's still a cancer survivor.
You just wear what you wore, wouldn't you? I just thought that was a bit daft, really.
I also got very concerned at the very end because she ran out the door.
That bit.
I'd
quite like the symbolism of her just going and clearing out all of her. Like, it was just such a... The challenge I had was why she was in witness protection to begin with. But actually, when she's then clearing out all of the stuff that's so... Because, they said you can't dress like her, you can never play the piano again. So I kind of felt that was very symbolic And I was okay with it.
I was worried when Andy runs out the door going to look for her, runs down a very long path to get to the beach.
With no shoes on.
No shoes on and leaving the door open. And then they just go
for
a lovely little stroll on the beach. I just don't leave the door open.
I think as well, one of the problems was it did that thing which lots of series have done in the past, where there's a strange memory that you can't quite remember. But you remember the weather, you remember a couple of glimpses, and it's like, oh, this is going to be the climax of the past, which we're going to learn about in the future, and they'll probably end up back in the same place where it all began 30 years ago. Now, that just ended up with a little girl going in the treehouse in the middle of the day before she went off with her real mum.
Yes.
As opposed to her hiding from some psycho.
But I liked that. And the reason why I liked that was because that was the first time she met her mother, like, properly, and that she was going to be taken away from them. There was a really good line that was in it, which was, Toni Collette says, contrary to what you may think, my life didn't begin the moment you were born.
Yeah.
And that, to me, says basically fundamentally about a young woman who's truly seeing her mother for the first time, not as a flawed parent, but that raised her, but as a whole person on her own terms. But at the end of the day, didn't really care about them as people.
But because they were just plot points. Too late. They left that far too late in the
shame.
That was episode 8, was it? It was all the last with episode. The reveals. Whereas had they had something like that earlier in the
we would have related to it.
I would have had more sympathy for both of them as characters.
Indeed.
But it was literally, so in episode 1, they allude to the fact that Andy is unfulfilled because she came back to help look after her mum. Then they don't mention it again until episode 8. And actually they could have peppered that a little bit better through the series to sort of like round off her as a character, and there was just nothing, you know. I think Andy got shortchanged on any real character traits and personality, and then Laura. It all just came too late for me to care enough about them.
Yeah, because there's another nuance which, again, I would have cared more if they made it more, you know, caring for, but the exploration around violence and the control of women, you know, I put that down about those who care about them, and then obviously the larger society who are you know, supposed to be protecting them, the misogyny, the father, the boyfriend, the brother, the husbands, you know. So there's this thing around protecting women or violence against women, but then it just
I know we were supposed to find a different side to the mum, but there was, the more you got to know her, the more you didn't like her. I mean, that whole scene where we flash back to when she was having cancer, and that poor woman who was just talking about taking her grandchildren to Disneyland.
Yeah, I would have told her to shut up.
Would you?
Yeah. Stop wittering on. Stop it. But then she went and she was very remorseful afterwards, wasn't she? She went and held her hand.
I did find that was an excellent scene, I thought, in the hospice.
I wanted her to go to Disney World.
Yeah.
In her dreams.
In her dreams. All right, then, in your dreams. All right. And can I ask what we thought about the twist at the end? Did you see it coming? Did you know about it? Did you... We found out that the big bad, the person who did, who engineered the shooting of
killing her dad,
wasn't actually Tony or whatever his name was.
Nick.
Did you say Tony?
Yeah. But he was definitely in the loop because he was in the audience watching.
But because of this child abuse or this abuse that there was a heavily alluded to, she's the one that gave the gun to that. She's the one that encouraged the mum to do it, wasn't she? The woman who'd lost her family. And then it was like, oh, well, I know about it, but let's all pretend it never happened because we're all by the beach now. It's great. And I'm going to be rich.
Yeah, exactly. And I've got a funny feeling that they're going to come back with a season 2.
There can't be any more flashbacks to that woman's life.
I don't know, because Nick's not been put away yet, has he?
Yeah, but Nick turned out to be not really as bad as everybody was making out. He wasn't the problem, it was her. She's the one that did it. She's the one that...
But that's what I mean.
So
she's testifying against
him. Where some of the confusion is, I'm having you spend the whole series thinking that the conspiracy, the original conspiracy was to kill the father at this expo thing, but actually it was instead just that this woman was going to stand up and talk about how evil he was. Is that what we're supposed to believe? And it was because of the Jane that she actually then just killed her. It was just too many layers of nonsense. Onion for me, a bit like Harlan Coben stuff, like Stay Close and Safe and things like that, where is it Stay Close? One of the Harlan Coben TV adaptations, the one where Jennifer Saunders gets killed off really early on. Is it Stay Close or
Female cop?
The one with Hugh, not Hugh Grant, with. I know the one you mean.
Anyway, it's so convoluted, and there are so many convenient connections.
Well, I gave up in the end.
I was just screaming at the telly.
Finding Alice? Was it Finding Alice? No, it wasn't Finding Alice. No, Stay Close. Something close.
But anyway, it was just, it's just kind of like, oh, too many.
Yeah.
Far too many convolutions to come back to the central point. Far too engineered. Sorry,
just to let you know, it was called The Stranger.
That's it. The Stranger.
Oh, The Stranger. Got it there. Yeah.
But Safe and Stay Close, I think, are both his as well. And it had that kind of. I just got really frustrated with it.
Yeah, I just turned it off in the end.
All right. Well, let's move on to the big five. So, who do you think gave the performance of the series? For me, I'm going to say it was Toni Collette. I really liked her.
I love Toni Collette, but I think the young Jane was very good.
She was.
The young Andy. Little baby Andy.
Oh, right, okay.
The 4-year-old.
I think the performance of the series was the suitcase with all the money in it.
Well, that did keep getting rolled out, didn't it? It's
like, exactly.
It made it
all the way through.
I know.
I was looking at it going, just put it all in a backpack.
I know, that's what I kept thinking. Split it up a bit. The set piece, put it in a bank. The set piece of the series.
The shooting at the diner, yeah.
Oh, no, I've got shooting the dad on stage. I thought that was quite shocking.
The shooting in the diner?
At the
coffee shop, at the restaurant.
At the start.
At the very first episode, the shooter.
Remember?
That bit.
The set piece.
That started it all off. I was thinking about that because they meet in a coffee shop all the time.
The first, her 30th birthday celebration at the coffee shop.
Okay. Thing. Design effect of the series. Design or effect of the series. This is a tough one, really.
I found that really hard to pinpoint. So I think the slicing of the neck, that was quite impressive.
Okay. I think so. I quite like to play the piano. I don't know if that counts. But she did float in the air.
She did.
Megan's frozen. No, she hasn't.
She did what?
When she was playing the piano, she floated off.
She sort of floated off into her realm.
I don't know why.
Oh. When she was in concert or at
the end. When she was in a shop.
Clearly wasn't paying any attention by that point.
Can I just say, did anyone else think that something more was going to happen when she kept picking at her scar, her wound on her hand? Because she did it a few times, and I was thinking she was going to pull out a piece of paper with a clue on it or something.
It was so heavily signposted as something, and again, you only find out right at the very end that she damaged her hand when she was younger.
Yeah.
And so all of that, it's like, it just felt like you could probably watch episode one, maybe 7 and 8. That's it. You're good.
Okay. Yeah, I agree.
All right. So, Megan, did you have a design or effect of the series that you liked?
The suitcase.
All right. So the stupid factor for me
suitcase.
Why she needed to hide with all that money. you know, if you're that rich, you're better off hiding in your mansion. How about, you know, and 10 bodyguards.
You know what? I don't think you can underestimate. Mind you, the dad's dead by that point. Yeah, all right.
And she served time for it.
She did. All right, so Annie Stewart, what was your stupid factors?
The runner poisoning. There were a lot of them. But yeah. it was that kind of thing. And then things like when she did then leave, she left her phone behind. She just like, why? Who ever does that? No one ever leaves their phone behind.
That's true. All right, a resuscitation factor. I don't think they'll bring it back.
Dear God, let them not do that.
But you, Deborah, you do have your...
I was left with the feeling that it's still not concluded.
Okay. All right, so that kind of brings us to the end. Let's just see if it had any of our tropes. Was there a pregnancy in it? Yes.
What? Our tropes?
Have we done this before? No? Some tropes from the series. So regular things that we see popping up in these
series.
Oh, this
is good. I like this. Go on.
No, I don't think we've done this before.
Oh, sorry. Can I make these scripts way
back?
Can
you just do it behind the scenes and just sort of like play that game afterwards?
Tell me what the tropes are.
I've got a list of, well, we'll go through them now and you'll be able to see them live. So I'd like your views on this. So does it have these tropes? Does it have a pregnancy?
Yes.
Yes.
Does it have a murder?
Yes, a few.
Is there a self-sacrifice?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, I'd say so. Okay, do they lose everything? Does a character lose everything that gets it all back again?
Yes.
Yes.
How have we not played this before?
I love this. We need to go back on all the films.
Is there a love triangle?
Yes!
Is that?
Well, her brother loves Nick.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Right, genre blindness. Is it genre blind?
No.
I don't know what that means.
Well, it's kind of like when maybe we don't view whether black people could have played black people at that particular time or stuff like that.
Oh, okay.
All right. Does it have a deus machina? Machina. I've never said that properly.
A what?
A deus machina, which is basically an easy...
Hey, Macarena.
It's a really easy... It's when you basically solve all the problems with a reset, with something that just resets everything.
What, like Men in Black or something?
Kind of like that, but it's using a very easy trope to fix it, which isn't part of the story, really. It hasn't got that, don't worry.
What's that? How do you spell what you've just said?
D-E-U-S.
Yep.
E-X. And then M-A-C-H-I-N-A.
Deus machina.
Yeah. Have a look at it, but it's not. Right. Is it all just a dream?
So that's what a deus machina means?
No. We've moved on from that.
Okay. Is it a dream? No.
Okay. And the last couple? An unlikely or forced friendship?
Well, yes.
You've got that kind
of friendship between the witness protection officer man.
Yeah, Charlie.
And does it have...
Also, that was another deeply, deeply convenient suspension of when their car just happens to be driving past the junction.
Stupid.
On.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he's gone to hospital. The paramedics said him. Okay, fine. Let's have a sit down and chat. You don't want to know how he's doing. You don't want to, you know. This is the person that's protected you for so long. You don't care.
So ridiculous.
He's in hospital, and that was it.
Okay, and final trope for me for now is a secret that can tear everybody apart.
Yes.
Yes. So
more than one, three, four, five, six, seven.
So 7 out of 10, 70%, I'd say it's full of tropes. Now, what we'll do with that is we will improve those tropes and whittle them down to a good 10 of tropes that cover everything. I just presented some this month. So
very excellent.
I like those.
I think there's a couple we could change. So we'll have a think about it. But
I think we should have ones that we can at least pronounce.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so let's sum it up in a sentence. I've just got edge of your seat, throwaway drama.
Back of the seat.
Oh.
Throwaway drama.
I've got the more secrets revealed, the less interesting it turns out to be.
Oh dear. Right.
That sounds like some kind of proverb.
All right. Okay, so let's give it some scores out of 10. So storyline and plot, Megan.
4 out of 10.
Deborah?
5.
I've given it 5. Characterization and performances, Deborah.
4, and that's generous.
Oh, I've given it 5.
Okay, 4.
Right, gosh. Style. Well, I've given it a 6, I can't style.
6.
Well, I had given it 4, but for the suitcase, it gets an extra one, so that's 5.
Oh, gosh. Megan, originality?
4.
And 4 for me. And absorption factor?
4.
And it gets a 7 for me. I thought, I don't know, I quite liked it. should we just... Right, so let's just...
Add it up and double
if you don't mind.
46.
42.
54. So, give me a second.
Calculator.
Got it. Effect. Right, it gets TV autopsy BPM. It's 47.
I mean, that's pretty low, isn't it?
Very low. It puts
Is it bottom?
In second to bottom, just below the 1, but above the nevers. So there we go. I liked it, but it's
throwaway. I preferred the one scored higher for me. Interesting.
Okay. Remember, there's not a lot on that scoreboard yet, so as time goes by, we'll see. Now, whose turn is it to choose?
Mine.
Ooh.
Come on then, Megan, let's do this.
Now, do I need to give you some clues?
Oh, yes, please.
Oh, yes.
Right, so this show has been one of my rave reviews.
So you've seen it already?
I have seen it already, and I am desperate to watch it again.
Oh.
Okay. I see Yellow Jackets.
It's not Firefly.
Not Yellow Jackets.
All right, okay.
Not Firefly.
We've done not... Firefly.
Yeah, I'm going to make you all watch it again as well.
Right, go on then. Next clue.
It's a comedy.
Okay, comedy series.
Right, now give us another clue.
Is it old or new?
That's not a clue.
I've raved about it since Christmas as a new.
Right, I don't know.
I'm going to look at my notes. Right, so it's not the.
It's not Call My Bluff. Come on, Megan, tell us.
I've got this thing here written from last month, which it says facts spread like margarine. I have no idea what that refers to, but yes, anyway.
I do.
James said that. James said something about spreading facts like margarine.
Is it Kevin Can Fuck Himself?
It is Kevin Can Fuck Himself.
Yes!
Oh yeah.
Gosh. Well, that suddenly made us explicit. Well done.
I'm so desperate to discuss this.
All right.
Okay. And that's on Amazon Prime, isn't it? That's what I've got written down from my notes last month.
Yes, if that's, yes, I think it is, yes.
Okay. Lovely. Listen, we are going to go, but before we go, I'd just like to say, if you do like what you're listening to, give us a little review on iTunes or rate us, because it does help other people to find us. You don't have to. And if you don't like us, please don't write a nasty one.
Don't get personal.
It's our day. But it's up to
and
you.
And also, if you want to be featured, we'd love some mail. Correspondence.
Well, I don't see what you're meaning then.
Mail people.
we would drop us a line.
Mail with
also,
an I.
If you're a famous celebrity, like that woman, Tony, what was her name?
Colette.
Tony Collette. Well, or a famous director. Or a famous writer who'd like to come on and talk about your show, we're more than happy to talk about it for a bit with you, wouldn't we?
We would. We'd be honoured.
And can I just say, on the Toni Collette front, it did make... I re-watched Muriel's Wedding.
Oh, I love her.
Because I'd forgotten. I hadn't seen it since it came out. And it's just so brilliant.
It's so joyful, isn't it?
It is joyful.
And obviously, I'm in a film with Toni Collette.
Oh, here we go.
In Velvet Goldmine.
Right, I love you two both. We'll be back next week, next time. And next time, we will be bringing back our After the Credits. And I think we should just look at some comedy shows. Because
yes,
yeah, is that
I think that would be great. Given the program, there will be some great comparisons that we can start.
All right, goodbye, everybody.
Cheerio.
Goodbye.
Cheerio.
Bye.
Bye.
try and get it out in a bit.
Happy birthday!
Happy birthday!
Oh, happy birthday!
Yeah, but you've got to put some kind of happy birthday jingle on at the end.
All right, that will be good stuff.
Maybe find a trumpeter on Google to do it.
See you later. Bye-bye.
Bye.